Chapter 16. I had thought perhaps this morning that we would be ending the study on the book of Romans, which we began 6 years ago on November 27, 1997. But something else popped up that I was reading that seemed to be too important to just bypass it without going into it. Therefore, I'll put that off until Wednesday night. But this morning, we'll be examining the second half of verse 19, which we already studied. And will not make much comment upon it, except for the fact that it ties with verse 20, which has some great significance to us. So if we read from verse 19, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Father, for your word, knowing that you are bruising Satan under our feet and your peace and grace is with us. Father, we ask that you would help us to better understand what this means and to, in a greater measure, Father, to may that grace be applied in our life. And Father, may it become part of us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, he says, But yet I would have you to be wise unto all which is good and simple concerning evil, and, in verse 20, and remember the word "and" is a conjunction, and a conjunction links two thoughts together and ties them together as one thought. So we see that the Apostle Paul is tying the thought of the people being wise in that which is good and simple or pure concerning that which is evil. And then he says, "and," which "and" ties the next thought here. And he says, "and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Now, amen means so be it. Therefore, we see that he says, be wise in that which is good and simple or pure and unmixed in that which is evil. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. Now notice Paul is speaking here of doing something or understanding something, and then the grace of and peace of God will apply to your situation. Now I know people that will say, well, if you must do something or know something for it to apply, then it really isn't grace. But just wait a minute on that thought. Remember, a pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted as a pardon. And the grace and peace of Almighty God cannot be effective, nor can it be accepted if we are not aware of it and what it will do for us. So you've got to have an awareness of the grace of God in order for it to be effective and for you to accept it and to apply it in your life. Now look, God himself has come down in this hour, but unless you know it and are aware of it, it will not do you any good. So what did he do? The great invisible one became visible. And before thousands of people, that pillar of fire descended down on the Ohio River and hovered over the prophet William Branham. And then a voice spoke out from that great light, just the same light, the same as when that light descended down on the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, somewhere out there in the desert, and hovered over the Apostle Paul. And a voice spoke out from the same light as well and declared himself to be the same one in this hour. And we see that the light was taken, the picture was taken. I imagine at least a million people have seen that picture, if not more. And so unless they are aware then of what it's all about, it's not doing them any good. People will look at that picture, they'll mock it and laugh and everything else. They'll look at this and say, well, that's just a cop. But we know better because we know that the Supreme Judge himself has come. he said, be wise unto all which is good and simple or pure concerning evil, and then the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. You see, he is the token, the one who's come. He is a token which has come down in this hour. But you've got to know that he is here in order for it to do you any good. And not only are you to know he is here, but you are to apply that knowledge. Brother Brown said, you've got to apply it. We are to apply the knowledge, not just talk about it. And the word apply means to make use of it, to use it, to put it to use. From the token, Brother Brown said, you might have cast out devils, you might have healed the sick, you might have sick by your prayer of faith. You might have done all those things, but if that token's not there, you're under the wrath of God. You might be a believer, you might stand in the pulpit and preach the gospel. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, preached in your name? Have not I cast out devils in your name? That's both Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. Jesus said, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. But when I see the token, I'll pass over you. It's God's requirement of the hour. The evening time message is to apply the token. Satan's thrown all kinds of counterfeits and shaking hands and evidence and everything like that. Forget it. The hour has arrived that the token itself, not some counterfeit, make-believe, substitutionary, anything. The hour is here when the token himself is identifying himself right among us and proving that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's right with the word. It's got to be applied. A man that says that he's got the token and deny this word, then what about it? See, you can't do it. The token's got to be there. When I see the blood, the blood shall be a token unto you. Now, the Holy Spirit, the life that was in that blood, is a token unto you. We'll get to it in a moment. See, the Holy Ghost is the token. The case is closed. Yes, sir. Now, the word apply, because he said that fairly often in this quotation we read to you, the word apply means to put into action, according to Daniel Webster or the Webster Dictionary. No, I guess it's Noah Webster. Noah's dead. Anyway, to put into action. It means, you know, like when you apply your brakes or when you apply paint to the wall. You know, to do the paint, you know, to apply paint to the wall, you've got to actually take it out of the bucket and you've got to put it on a brush or put it on a roller and then you apply it. In other words, you've got to use it. And in order to use it, you must get it out of the can. You see, it doesn't do you any good if it remains in the can. And neither does the Word of God do you any good if it just remains between the two covers of this book. You've got to take it out and you've got to apply it. There's over 800 and some promises in this Word, and they're yours if you want them. But it's up to you. You've got to use them. You've got to apply them. Webster says the word also means, apply also means to devote oneself to one's effort to something. You know, we say that the student is really devoted to his studies. In other words, he really applies himself. You say he really applies himself to his studies. He's really, in other words, he's really devoted to his studies. You see, so the word apply means to devote oneself to one's efforts to something. Therefore, if you are going to apply the token, and remember that is your only hope, and if you're going to apply it, then you must be devoted to it. And your efforts must show that you are devoted to it. And remember, we showed you that the actions of your body language, and all that you do shows your attitude towards Christ. He said it's got to be applied. Too many people have taken the path of least resistance and they just talk it. But they just won't walk it. But if you've got to walk the talk. Brother Bram said, I'd rather that you live me a sermon than you preach me one. You've got to let your life do the talking for you. Paul said the people were written epistles, known and read of all men, not just a bunch of philosophers who could sit around and talk all day about the Word, but he said that they were the living Word. They were the living Word, and that is what means to apply the token. Christ himself is here, and if you knew that he is in your presence, how are you going to act? Now just think about that. If you truly believe with all your heart that Christ is here this morning, well, most people do when they come to church, but how about in your home? How about in your car? How about on the job? How about in bed at night or in your spare time? You see? If you're going to apply the token, and the token is Christ himself who's come, then you're going to have to apply it in every situation because he's here. He's in your presence. And then how are you going to act? What are you going to think? Because remember, the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If he's here, he's reading your mind. He's reading your actions. He's reading your thoughts. He's reading your lips, you see. What words will come out of your mouth while standing in the presence of the great judge of all the earth? Now, if you've ever been into a courtroom and you speak out of line, the judge says, you know, you're in contempt of court, or, you know, one more word out of you, and I'll hold you in contempt of court. He points that finger at you. You know, and you realize that man has all supreme authority in that building. That courtroom is his. And the law is, you know, and that's the problem we have in the nation today, is that these judges have taken over and they started legislating. And because of that supreme authority, they've taken control. But yet the great judge, he's here. And men will walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trod. And so how are you going to talk? How are you going to think? How are you going to act? Knowing that he's here. You see, if you could only get impressed in your mind that he is here, he sees everything you do, he knows everything you think, he knows everything that you say, he's watching. And one day it's going to be recorded. I mean, it's being recorded now. One day, as Brother Bram said, it's going to be played before everyone. Everyone. So the little things that you say about someone, it'll be played back one day, unless you quickly put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. You see? The things that you do, it's all going to be recorded. Everybody in the world is going to see you. You know? That's why I don't understand. You know, I just don't understand. Well, I do understand, but I don't understand. I mean, you know, let's face it, if you truly get a revelation that he's here, it just makes your life completely, completely different. You see, David said, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. That means he's my power. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. Brother Branham said, how do you get him near you? You talk about him. On the road to Emmaus, they were talking about him. That's when he drew near. You see? Now, I'm getting back to what Brother Bram said in the token. He said, the hour is here when the token himself is identifying himself right among us and proving that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's right with the word. It's got to be applied. So how do you apply the presence of the Lord? Well, you live a life that reflects in that life that you are aware of his presence day and night. You live as though he is watching your every movement, and you talk as though he is right beside you, listening to every word you say, and you think as though he is the Word, which is a discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and he's by your side discerning your every thought that you're thinking. In other words, you live knowing that he is at your side, and therefore you will not be moved, and you will rest in an earnest expectation that he is not here in vain, but he is here with a specific plan, and you are part of that great plan. And that plan is to, by the renewing of your mind, change the body. You see? Now, from the token, Brother Bram says, some people will say, well, I belong to church. Mother went up there and I was dedicated there as a baby. But you must display the token. Now, before he said you must apply it. Now he's saying you must display it. Yes, sir, move out all the worldly trash, all the things of the world, because you can't love the things of the world, all your unbelief in God's Word. Remember, he prays these things in the last days. Anything in your life that's against that, move it out and get ready and bring the token in. Then apply the token in prayer with consecration and be convinced and concerned about it. Now, he said it has to be displayed, and the word display means to present or to hold up to view, to express as by gestures or bodily posture. Let this attitude that was in Christ be also in you. And remember, your body posture is the display. It displays your attitude. Therefore, that is what he is talking about when he says that we must apply it or display the token. He's looking for the attitude of Christ to be in you. Because if the one who is here is displayed in you, because you're the one that has to display it, you're the one that has to apply it, then you're taking his life and you're living it. That's applying the token. You see? If the token is the presence of Christ himself among us, then our life must become a written testimonial of that belief, a written epistle. What good would it have done Noah to talk, you know, for 120 years or preach for 120 years that the rains were coming if he didn't build the ark? What good would it have done Moses if he hadn't crossed the Jordan, if he hadn't taken the people over the Red Sea? You see? He could say to Pharaoh, well, let my people go, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, okay, go. And he didn't do anything about it. What good would that have done, you see? The Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 3 that when Moses met the pillar of fire, he was changed forever. And when he came into the midst of the people, they could see the effects of the pillar of fire on the face of, or the presence of Moses. In 2 Corinthians, if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we read, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Huh? Are we to pat ourselves on the back? Or need we some as others, epistles of commendation or recommendation from you, letters of recommendation from you? Do we need letters of recommendation? I don't think so. For he goes on to say, you are our epistle written in our heart, known and read of all men. He says, why would I need any letters from you? telling people what I teach when you yourselves are the letters written in flesh that tell people what I teach? In other words, people see your lives and they say, okay, that's what they believe. That's what they teach there. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, notice he says, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Paul is telling them here that he has been given a ministry that allows him to utilize the Holy Spirit to engrave into the hearts and minds of the people what the Holy Spirit has sent him to teach them. In other words, he's telling them, he's telling them that this is not the efforts of man. It is God using a man to bring forth in the flesh of the people a reflection of Christ himself. He goes on in verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. You see, he's letting them know that it's God doing it, not he himself, although he is the one God is using or working through. But notice verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. See, it's not me. As though, but our sufficiency, he says, is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Then the apostle begins to teach them how God did the same thing through Moses at the first Exodus. And so in verse 7 he says, but if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, that's the law, if that be glory, much more doth the ministration of right wiseness exceed in glory. In other words, when Moses came down to the people, after having received the Ten Commandments written in stone, and when he came into the presence of the people, after spending 40 days in the presence of the Lord, his face so glowed with the Shekinah light of God that the people were afraid, and he had to put a veil on his face to hide that glory. And the Apostle Paul says here, if the glory of God was so great reflecting from this man, from just words written in stone, how much greater it must be when it was written in flesh. For the light first comes to the prophet, and then from that prophet, being a reflector of God, it reflects that light forward to the people, and then they become reflectors of the same light. Now in Exodus 34 and 29 we read, and it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, he didn't know, that the skin on his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him or nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation, they returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them in the commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went before God to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out, and he spake unto the children of Israel that which was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went to speak with him. You know, we sing the words that Moses gave to the people when he came down from the mountain, but we never really stop to think of what those words really mean. But when we sing from Numbers 6 and 24, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee, we're talking about the face of God, the presence of God reflecting from you. You know, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Now what's a countenance? Well, I can look at different people and I can see if they've got a sad countenance, a happy countenance, a joyful countenance, a glorified countenance. If you've got the countenance of God lifted up upon you, that means you are reflecting God. You're reflecting His image, His presence. So, you know, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 10, we read, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which was done away, that's the law, was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such great hope, who use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. And remember that when Christ died on the cross, fulfilling all the word of God that God had said about him, there was a great earthquake, and a veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. So who was it that was behind the veil? Well, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Brother Brown preached the unveiling of God, or the mighty God unveiled before us. And so when that veil of the temple was ripped, the Shekinah presence of God was revealed, the one that died on the cross, you see. But even until this day, he goes on to verse 15, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. And Brother Brown taught us that veil upon the heart was traditions and creeds. In fact, from the unveiling of God, he said, notice death, it's death to stay away from it now. You must go into it through this veil or you won't. How God could have mercy on them, but remember what it was. That was God, that God is manifesting what was behind that veil. Watch what was behind the veil. It was the Word. What did it veil? It veiled the Word. And what is it? It's in the ark. It was the Word that had the veil hid. See? And Jesus was that Word, and He is that Word, and the veil of His flesh hid it. And today the veil of traditions hides the Word again. I like the way he said the veil of His flesh hid it. You see, because we have a dual being. We had the man, Jesus. And then we had the God that dwelt in that man, Jesus. And so it was the veil that stumbles. Look at how the veil of Brother Branham stumbled so many. You know, these great these guys that think they're so, you know, smart. You know, the Bible answer man. And he's got all the wrong answers, but he's got answers. But you know, they look at Brother Branham and say, oh, you know, he doesn't have his PhD, his LLD and all this stuff. He's just a stupid Kentuckian. And they don't realize that was God manifested in that flesh. That was God that was veiled to us. That was God using that body. You see. Excuse me. Now, in 2 Corinthians 3:16, we read on, nevertheless, when it, that's the heart, the understanding, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil, the traditions and creeds shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with an open face, an unveiled face, no traditions, no creeds, just pure Word, beholding as in a glass, that's the mirror of the Word, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when you stand before the Word is open, and you see Christ. When the light strikes that Word, it reflects upon you. It's just like we've said many times, you can go into the bathroom, close, you know, at nighttime when it's dark outside, shut the shades if you got a window in there. If you don't, it's even better. Shut the door, shut off all the lights, and stand before the mirror, and you can't see yourself. Then you just go to the door a little bit and crack it just a little bit, just let a little insy-bitsy bit of light in, and you begin to see maybe the things that stand out the most. Maybe if you got a nose like mine, the tip of your nose will show, and maybe your forehead will show. In my case, maybe even now today, I haven't done this in years, so maybe even the top of my head might show. You see, but just a little bit of light will start to reflect from some place, okay? Then the more light that you allow to come in, the more reflection you see. So what are you seeing? You are seeing light. Right? It's not you that you're seeing. You're seeing the different frequencies of light. Because if we have no light, there's no sight. Correct? And if there's no light upon this, there's no sight, insight as to what it means. So when you look in the mirror and you see yourself, if you've got all black on, like the old mimes. Remember the old Red Skelton show and those things years and years ago? They'd have a mime. And the mime would have an all black background. And he'd have on everything black, except for maybe white gloves and maybe his face painted white. And so then he would act, and you just see the hands moving around. You couldn't see any coat. You couldn't see arms. You just see the hands doing things. Because white is a reflector. Black absorbs light. You see? But white or light, lighter colors reflect light. And so when you stand before that mirror, when you are decked in a garment that is white, pure and spotless, it can reflect perfectly. And so when you stand before that mirror and it reflects, when you stand before the mirror of the Lord, if you're decked in the Word of God, as the Bible says, she's washed her robes. They're not dirty and soiled. They're washed in the washing water by the Word. That allows you then to reflect Him. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You see? Now, so we read, he says, nevertheless, when it, the heart, the understanding, shall turn to the Lord, the veil, the traditions, the creeds, they shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's His presence, there's what? There's liberty. But we all, with an open face, with an unveiled face, no traditions, no creeds, just pure Word, beholding as in the glass, the mirror of the Word, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, the doxa of the Lord, the opinion, assessment, judgment of the Lord, we are changed into the same opinion, judgment, assessment. You see? Now, he doesn't stop there, because it actually goes on from verse 18 into chapter 4, and he says, therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel still be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see how the Word can completely transform a person. Now, from the token again, Brother Bram says, notice they were not just yet to come together to talk about the message. They come together to apply the blood, to apply the token. That's what you must do. Pastor Neville, and to this congregation, trustees, deacons, to you brethren, it's time that we laid aside all the foolishness of the world. It's time that we laid aside everything else. We've seen enough now that we're positive, sure. And the token must be applied, and without it, you're going to perish. You must perish. That is the only thing. Oh, don't come together and say, I believe it, but get beneath it, get into it. And how to do it? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody believe with all your heart. See, He was not responsible for any that was out from beneath it. Again, he says from page 48, he says, flee for safety, then apply. See, believe for it. Now, here's what you want to believe for. See, you want to believe for your own safety. You believe for your safety and then apply the token for the whole family. See, you say, how can I do that? Claim it. If it worked on you, then you and the Word becomes one. Amen? Amen. See, it works for both of you. You and the Word are one. Then apply it to your children. Apply it to your loved ones like Rahab did. She applied the token to her father. She applied it to her mother. She applied it to her brothers and sisters and got them all in. You apply it and say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after her. I apply my token, the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit that lives within me, catch my daughter there. I'm going to her now with your anointing upon me, and He will do it. Now, that's the divine promise of God. You rebuke that Satan that comes into your home, and you go after that child, and you believe for that child. And you believe that God is there with you to perform. That's what they did in Egypt. That's what they did in Jericho. If you want to read another one, Acts 16:31, Paul told the centurion, believe. He said, I am the messenger of the hour. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou and thy house shall be saved. Is that right? Believe for your house. Bring them all under it. Now, you've seen the God of heaven perform a miracle just before judgment. You believed it. Excuse me. He asked him, what can I do? He said, rise and be baptized. Paul took him out and baptized him. And he said, now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. Believe what? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house. Apply the token to your house. Then what do you do when you apply it to your house? You move all the trash out. Now, here's the key. You move all the trash out. You get all the short skirts, the shorts, the cars, the cigarettes, the televisions, and whatever more, and kick them out the door. If you're going to apply the token, it won't stand still for it. Yes, sir. Take it all out, all the dances, the parties, the rock and roll, the old Vulcan newspapers and the stuff that's of the world. Kick it out the door and say, we're cleaning out this place around here. You see, you're actually, you know, you apply the paint, you got to take the paint out of the can. Well, if you're going to apply the home, then you got to kick all the junk out of the home that would detract from the Shekinah. You got to clean it up. That's what applying the token is. It's not talking about it. It's not preaching to your kids till they reject it. It's creating the atmosphere in your home. That they're living in an atmosphere. And if they're living in the atmosphere in your home, they're going to want to come to the atmosphere that's here. You see? Like Jacob did. He said, told his wife and all of them, said, wash your clothes and everything. Put away them gods. Amen. You know that Joshua said before crossing over, he said, wash your clothes, come not nigh near your wives and so forth, and get ready. For within 3 days we'll cross Jordan. Amen. He was getting ready. They was applying the token. Amen. That's it. Get ready. Apply it. Believe it. Clean up. Let your children, let your family, let your loved ones see it in you. That's right. And it'll take effect. Yes, sir. Then apply the token in prayer and with consideration, with believing. Apply it with such love and so forth that you know that it's going to take place. That's all. Apply it in confidence, believing it's going to help. When you talk to that child, when you talk to your husband, when you talk to your wife, talk to this loved one, believe it, that it's going to help, and stand there and say, Lord, I've claimed them. They're mine, and I'm getting them for you, Lord. Apply it, create that atmosphere around you that they'll just drop right into it. See? Oh, you are, if you've got the token, you create a spirit around you of power that when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. They love you for some, they love you to say something to them. They believe your word, what you say, they hold on to it. See? That's it. Apply the token, then walk with it. Claim your husband. You must do it now. This is the evening time. Now you've been listening a long time. Now this is the evening time. It's applying time now. The wrath will strike one of these days. It might be too late then. See? Apply the token with confidence. Not just, oh God, I hope that they're elect. God, I believe they're elect. Bone of my bone. Blood of my blood. Flesh of my flesh. And God, I'm not going to give up till I see them at the altar. Till I see them walking in the light. Not talking it, but walking in the light. And if you want to read something here, my scripture I wrote down for this is Ephesians 2 and 12. If you want to put that down now, Ephesians 2 and 12, when you read it, it says that we don't serve dead works. We serve the living God with living works. Amen. Oh my, with living works, living signs, you believe in living signs. Also put down Hebrews 9, verse 11 to 14. And if you want to put that down, living signs, living works, apply that. Not dead creeds. I'll take my boy over to the church and see if he joins the church, some fine Christian boy there. A good friend, old buddy, a real fellow. He come down here and was baptized, and his mother said, I wish you'd have went to a bigger church. And if you wanted to be baptized, see? But he just didn't want old creeds and dead things like that, see? We don't serve dead creeds and dead things and dead gods. We serve a living God, whose blood was shed back there, and the token's been applied to us that we live also. Amen. Yes, sir. Don't serve some dead creeds. They even deny such things as the token. They say the days of miracles has passed. There's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why join something like that? See? Don't do that. Apply the token. Then serve the living God for living works, living signs, signs that heal the sick, raise the dead, foretell things, speak in tongues, interpret every time perfectly right, prophecies and says this and such things as will happen, show signs in the heaven above and on earth, signs and wonders, amen, speaking exactly what the Bible said would take place, serve the living God, apply the token. That's what it is. It's applying it. That's all it is. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, because you've given us the way out. You've shown us for our family. You've shown us for our loved ones. You even said for your brothers and sisters and for your mother. So, Father, I just pray that you'd help me to be more... I just pray for that. I just pray the token for my brothers and sisters, my mother. I pray for the children here, Father, and the loved ones, the spouses, and those that are married with unbelieving spouses. We pray for them, Father. We pray for the brethren, Lord, that they could live such a godly life before their wife that surely we see Christ living in them. And we pray for the children, Father, that they would see the efforts and the desires for the parents to do and know and to serve a living God. May they so see Christ living in us that they want that living in them as well. And this is our prayer and this is our desire. And now we just commit all these things, Father, all these prayer requests that we've been praying just week in and week out. We just commit them all to Thee, Father, in the lovely name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.